The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came up and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Jesus told the disciples, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case an hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Our collect for today prays that we might know and understand what things we ought to do and may have the grace and power to fulfill those things. So what ought we to do? The psalm for today is an excellent example of the longest psalm in the world. 176 verses long. Believe it or not, the Celtic saints used to memorize the entire thing and would recite it each day. 176 verses in praise of the law. The law in many forms, the judgments, the requirements, whatever they called them, this was a psalm in praise of the law, and that's what they ought to be doing with their entire lives, following the law judiciously. And yet, God has a habit of turning things upside down. The Old Testament lesson is a good example of that, and it follows other examples, like Cain and Abel, like Saul and David, like David and his brothers, like Joseph and his brothers. Somehow God has a way of changing things, patterns. In the story for today, Esau is the firstborn. That means he inherits the birthright. That means that everything that matters is his. And Jacob gets not. That's the way it goes. Jacob comes out holding on to Esau's ankle as though he's trying to keep him from being born first so that Jacob can sneak out. Well, that didn't work. So one day Esau is out in the field hunting, and he's hot and he's sweaty and he's tired and he's hungry. And he comes in and he says, "Give me some of that red stuff, that lentil stew that you're making." Remember, Jacob didn't hunt. So everything he was made with veggies. But Esau was so hungry that he'd even eat the lentil soup that his brother was preparing. And he says, "I'm famished, I'm starving, give me something to eat." And Jacob says, "Now's my chance." And so he says, "I'll be glad to give you something to eat, but give me your birthright first." And Esau, being a slow-thinking guy and not too good at the long-range planning, says, "Okay, I'm hungry enough to die. I'll give you anything you want. Just give me some of that lentil stew." He gives his birthright away, and Jacob wins. The younger becomes the one who is served by the elder. God turns everything upside down. And then we see Paul. Paul is now at the conclusion of this terribly confusing list of readings that we've had over the last several Sundays. But now he comes out with the real fact, and that is that for the Christian, for the one who lives in the Spirit of the Christ, there is no condemnation. Paul seems to, in some ways, at least in this passage, equate sin with trespass of the law. It's the law that brings sin because people don't follow what they ought to follow. Remember that song. And so when they don't do what they ought to do, they're not living in the Spirit of Christ, and therefore there is condemnation. But for those who live in the law of Christ, there is no condemnation because the old law has been done away. Now there is life in Christ Jesus. So, if our goal and purpose is not to follow the law, do what the law requires, what then is required of us? To live by the Spirit, as Paul says, is what we're required to do, but how does that impact our daily lives? And that comes through the gospel for today. Now, Matthew probably, we don't know, nobody was there looking over his shoulder, probably was not written until after the middle of the first century. 60, 70, whatever. But 30, 40 years after Jesus spoke to the people in parables. And things had happened over those 30 to 40 years. There'd been persecutions that had not particularly happened before. There were people who were against them, the Jews, the Romans. There were things they had to look out for. Jesus spoke to the people in parables. Now, in the ancient Hebrew, a parable was a simple story. It was one of those stories that you told to people who didn't really take the time to think about it too deeply. They just understood what you were saying and went on with things. So Jesus tells them a parable about a sower. A sower who, as far as we're concerned, was a rotten farmer. Sower went out to sow his seed, and he took a basket of grain, and he dipped his hand or a bowl into the basket and threw the grain everywhere. Didn't matter where it landed, he threw it everywhere. Now, anybody who has ever been on a farm knows that what you do is you go out and you plow that piece of land which is going to grow crops. And then you sow the seed, either by hand or mechanical means, in that plowed dirt where it is most likely to grow and produce a crop. Not so the sower of Jesus' parable. He just throws it everywhere and then goes back and tills the land where that seed might grow. The rest of the seed is just lost. That's the parable. But a parable is not an allegory. If you then go to the second half of the gospel for today, you find the parable of Jesus turned into an allegory. It is no longer about the sower. It is about the soil in which the grain is sown. Makes a big difference in life. See, what we're required to do is to follow the parable of the sower. Don't worry about the soil. Worry about the sower. And what you sow in this life is the love of Christ our Lord. And you sow it everywhere. Everywhere where it is possible, toss it. Whether you think it's going to do you any good or not, it's your job to sow the seed. And so you share your love, the love of Christ, in all aspects and at all times. You don't pick and choose. You don't say, well, I think this person will respond better than this person, so I'm going to spend my time here. You throw it everywhere so that everyone has an opportunity to respond. But their response or lack of response is not your concern. Your concern is to broadcast that seed wherever you can. Now, I've always loved preaching, as you can probably tell. I preached one of my all-time worst sermons one Christmas Eve in Guthrie, Oklahoma. And I came away from that service thinking, that is the worst you have ever done in your life. 3 years later, a young man visited that church and came up to me and said, I want to thank you. And I said, for what? And he said, 3 years ago, last Christmas, I was at your service, and your sermon turned my life around. And I became a Christian, and now I attend church every Sunday, and I do everything I can to spread the good news. See, you don't have to worry about where the seed goes. Just send it. And that's our call. That's our raison d'être. That's our reason for being, to spread the good news of God in Jesus Christ wherever and whenever we have the chance. Amen.